Today is the International Day of Women and Girls in Science, and Memorial University is taking part in a big way. Women scientists from a range of disciplines will be profiled in the Mon Gazette and will be offering advice to the next generation of female scientists. Two of those established scientists join me live in studio this morning. Welcome to Dr. Jennifer Shea from the Faculty of Community Health and Humanities and Dr. Carissa Brown, Associate Professor of Biogeography. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Patty.
Jennifer, let's go to you. What attracted you to a career in science?
It's really interesting. I mean, I work in the health field, so, I mean, you can work on so many different things, and I work with Indigenous communities, so every day is different. So I get to work really closely with the communities and a lot of different projects and helping to improve health status, so.
Let's go to you, Carissa, the same question.
I grew up in Thunder Bay in northwestern Ontario, So I spent a lot of time outside in the forest on canoe trips or camping trips with my family, and I think that just sort of soaked in after a while. And so that's actually what I research is forests here in Newfoundland and as well as across Canada. And I think that's actually a really important point to spread today is that sometimes it just takes as much as going outside or fostering curiosity in kids in order to foster a career in science.
We've been paying more attention to it in the younger grades in school about STEM and a career possibilities for young women and girls. But then they also hear so many stories about their hurdles and their representation, whether it be just in the field or especially in leadership positions. How do you strike that balance where you don't talk them out of a career because of what maybe many women have experienced? How do you handle that, Jennifer?
I think it's really important for people like us to be mentors and to support people who want to go into that. So if there's a girl who asks us questions or wants us to be in a mentorship role, to embrace that and really help them.
And but Carissa, you know, the interesting part for me is if I have a daughter and she's thinking about that career, but she keeps hearing stories about how difficult it is and maybe the lack of opportunity to rise to the very top of the pinnacle of your career, what do you say to that young lady?
Well, first of all, I tell her that she should tell her dad to change the call number to VOCW. At least for one day a year.
Good start.
What I think is really key, I'm just teasing you, that girls and young women, and as you go through high school and go into university, surround yourself with a really positive community of mentors who are going to give you that supportive role and positive feedback and celebrate your successes. So that's really key, I think, is finding a community for yourself. I mean, that this is kind of ubiquitous. It's not just for science. Find a community for yourself that's going to celebrate your successes rather than tell you about all the barriers.
And that's an excellent point. So, Jennifer, when we know that you're underrepresented, females are across the board in many of the sciences. Your own experience for entering into the field and opportunities to grow.
It's well established that there is differences in gender once you're in the field. There was a study that came out last week out of Laval looking at CIHR funding, which is Canadian Institute of Health Research. So it looked at funding when the reviewers looked at it and they didn't know if it was a male or female and they looked at just the science versus if they knew what the gender of the PI was. And they found that when they knew the gender, women were less successful. When they didn't, they were on a level playing field. I just keep going and I'm passionate about it and I refuse to be stopped. Really, that's how I feel.
So when we talk about representation, refusing to stop is really solid advice, but what needs to change here? Because in male-dominated industries, it's a cultural, it's the attitude of those, especially at the top. So what do you suggest needs to change? Because flipping a switch on attitudes is a pretty difficult task.
Absolutely. So I think that we really do need to start with younger generations. So if we normalize having opportunities for girls and other less represented groups, so this is actually, I think today is an opportunity to think not only about having more girls and women in science, but all sorts of less represented groups. If we start changing the way we think about people in science from a very young age, then that is just going to travel as those students grow older. If we think about recycling, for example, when I was a kid, it was such a big deal to start recycling, but older generations didn't necessarily do it yet. But kids came home from school and told their parents they had to recycle or they were going to kill the earth. Well, we can plant those seeds early here as well.
What's happening at Memorial today in celebration of International Day of Women and Girls in Science?
I think it varies based on departments, but I think they're just trying to profile a lot of us that are working in this area and hope that it reaches girls who may be thinking about these type of careers?
I think enrollment's up, isn't it, for girls across the women and girls mm-hmm. in these types of fields. So, Carissa, last word to you, your summary point to the listener, whether it be men or women.
Just foster curiosity in kids and give every opportunity that you can for children to ask questions and think about how they might answer those in the future.
And I'm sure your mentorship will be welcomed by the next wave of young ladies who would like to be part of the sciences. Good to meet you both this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
That's Dr. Jennifer Shea from the Faculty of Community Health and Humanities and Dr. Carissa Brown, Associate Professor of Biogeography, celebrating International Day of Women and Girls in Science.